If you will, turn to Psalm 141, Psalm chapter 141. We continue the series on the most improved Christian, and I'm dealing with watching your words part two. Psalm 141, verse number 3, the Bible tells us, set a watch, or the psalmist prays, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Keep the door of my lips. Boy, is it hard to have control of this little thing called the tongue. Very, very difficult. We learned last week that the tongue has power to destroy. It also has power to direct. And I told you I'd break this message down into three different categories. Wrong use of words, right use of words, principles for our speech. And so last week we looked at lying lips being an abomination and how that is formulated in a life, leaving out truth, omission, withholding the truth, exaggeration, denial of something, a fabrication, making up a story, an error, a lie that says, well, I didn't really know when you did know, a false witness, guile. We looked at all those different things that are connected to deceit and lying. And lying lips are but for a moment. They always come back to haunt you. We looked at the word viciousness and how that perverseness in the tongue is a destruction of the spirit. How that vicious words can destroy somebody's spirit. And we ought to stay away from vicious words. And we ended last week by looking at profanity. Out of Ephesians chapter 5, neither filthiness, obscenities, nor foolish talking, dirty jokes, nor jesting, vulgarities, which are not convenient. These things are not to be named once among believers. Not to be named once among the church. And we need to stay away from that. And also, we ought to stay away from using the worldly substitutes of those words. And dealt with some of that last week. We go on to a fourth type of word usage that is not good and sinful against the Lord, and that is presumption about the Lord. Turn to Psalm chapter number 10. Psalm chapter number 10, verse number 11. To presume things about the Lord. If I could explain presume this way, well, God will forgive me if I do it again. That's a real dangerous place to live. When you are assuming that God and presuming that God is going to do his part no matter what you do. Here, listen to these words in Psalm 10, verse number 11. He has said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. He has said, he had spoken these words right in here. God will forget. He hides his face. He won't see it. Boy, you're in a dangerous place. You're actually tempting the Lord when you do those things. And we're reminded in Scripture, do not tempt the Lord our God. Don't presume upon him. Don't assume that I can do whatever I want. I can live the way that I want. God doesn't care. That's real faulty thinking, and that's real faulty speaking, and those are wrong words. Brethren, we ought to watch, and we need to watch our words. Fifthly, the fifth sin with the tongue is slander. Slander. Turn to Psalm chapter 31. Psalm 31, we see an example of it. Slander, if I could define it for you, is spreading or passing along false information intended to defame a person's character or to influence a decision. Let me say it again. Slander is spreading or passing along false information intended to defame a person's character or to influence a decision. And I want to show you some examples of it tonight in the Scriptures. In Psalm 31, verse 12, the psalmist is testifying, his spirit is crushed. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side while they took counsel together against me. they devised to take away my life. Question, does slander hurt? You better believe it. The psalmist said here, I feel like a dead man. My life is like a broken vessel. And he gives the reasoning, for I have heard the slander of many. In Proverbs 10:18, it says, he that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. Strong language. You put yourself in that category when somebody spreads slander. Turn to Psalm or Proverbs 25, if you will. Proverbs chapter 25. Watch our words. Let's stay away from slander, passing along false information intended to defame somebody's character. Notice in Proverbs 25, verse number 8, the Bible says, go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame. Boy, don't be quick to pick a fight. Don't be quick to get in an argument. Keep it going. Start it. Don't be quick to start a fire or add a spark with your words to something. Why? Debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself, and discover not a secret to another, lest he that heareth it put thee to shame, and thine infamy, thy slander, thy defamation, turn not away. Now it's interesting here, it's interesting to me, that it is the gossip in verse number 9 that is the one that becomes slandered. Debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself, and discover not a secret, or don't share a secret with another, lest he that heareth it put thee to shame, and thine infamy turn not away. Man, you better be careful what you talk about with other people. It'd come back and bite you and turn to a bad reputation that you get that you can't get rid of. Very interesting how Solomon advises us in that passage. All of those passages are dealing with somebody spreading false information to take down somebody's reputation. But turn to Numbers 14, because we have an illustration of slander in Numbers 14 that is false information that's given to affect an important decision. And that's vital. Give you a scenario. You're at work. Your coworker lies to the boss. Your boss comes to you and says, hey, is this going on? Is this guy on the up and up? And you know he's not, but you want to protect him. So you share false information to affect the boss's decision to keep somebody that's dishonest, that's going to burn him down the road. Practical situation, but slander is false information. Look at this in Numbers 14, verses 36 and 37. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a what? A slander upon the land. How did they do that? Oh, murmured and complained. And they brought a slander upon the land. Even those men that did bring up the evil report, that's the word slander, upon the land, died by the plague before the Lord. Evil report, when it wasn't an evil report, when God didn't want it to be an evil report, God said, I catch that, and you're going to die for it. That's pretty strong. Watch our words, watch our words. Number 6, boasting. Number 6, the wrong use of our tongue tonight, the word boasting, or the concept of boasting. In James chapter 3, verse number 5, even so the tongue is a little member that what? Boasteth great things. In James 4, verse 16, but now you're rejoicing in your boasting, all such rejoicing is evil. Not good, but evil. In 1 Corinthians 3:21, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Boasting's talking about me. Anybody have trouble with that? Raise my hand nice and high. All right? See, preacher, then how can we correct that? Well, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. In Romans chapter 5, verse 11, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Joy in God, glory in God, boast in God. Boasting will cause you trouble in your life. There's another one, meddling in others' business. Meddling in others' business. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, if you will. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 11. You know, it's just good to review the sins of the tongue and to know that our tongue can commit all of these. It's a member that is out of control. It's very hard to tame. And here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 11, the Bible says, "For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are," what's the word? Busybodies. It means working all around and meddlesome. It's somebody's business over here, and somebody's business over here, and somebody's business over here. They're busybodies. Look at back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look at verse number 11. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 11. "And that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you." Do you see own business and own hands there? You know what Paul's trying to tell the church at Thessalonica? Worry about yourselves. Just take care of yourselves. And study to be quiet. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 13, there's another verse dealing with this, and it kind of sheds more light on the busybodies in 1 Timothy chapter 5, if you want to turn over there, verse number 13. The Bible says, "And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house," working all around, house to house. "And not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies," doing what? Oh, they're going to use their tongue like they shouldn't use it. Transferring information. Tattlers, an idle talker who tells tales. Busybodies, meddlers. You know what? Those people cause a lot of trouble in a family and a lot of trouble in a church. Just somebody that gives their tongue to being a meddler. And that is trouble. Next one is gossip. Next one is gossip. Turn over to Proverbs 25, if you will. Gossip could be truthful. It may be true about somebody, but it's information that ought not to be shared. Not everything that comes through our ears should be shared. And gossip and backbiting go hand in hand. Talking maliciously about someone who is not present. Hey, if you got something good to say about somebody, say it, whether they're present or not. But gossip is different. It says in Proverbs 25:23, "The north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue." Gossip. Instead of talking to others about it, gossip to God about it. It's okay to take everything before the Lord. His ears can hear it all. Okay? And a good replacement for gossip is just, best thing to do is talk to the Lord about it. Talebearing. Talebearing is another one in Proverbs. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. This definition of a talebearer is a scandalmonger. If you look up the word in the Strong's Concordance, you'll find that this talebearer is a scandalmonger. They love to get in the scandal and they love to spread it all over the world. Okay? And the Bible says about this person in Proverbs 16, "A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends." A talebearer is a separator. "He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets." The story is told about a young man who had been saying harsh things about another man in town. One day he discovered that none of the things he had said were true. By spreading the information, he had caused a lot of damage in that man's reputation. He had slandered him. He went to his grandfather and he said, "Pops, how can I make this right?" Grandfather took a pillow to the front of the porch, cut it open, began spreading the feathers into the wind, and said, "All you have to do is pick up the feathers." Boy, our tongue costs us, doesn't it? And we can't pull back those words. Tale-bearing. Another one, murmurings. Murmurings is another way that we use our tongue in a bad way, in a wrong way. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 14, "Do all things without murmurings, grumblings, and disputings, or debate, or argument, or controversy, or strife. We're to do all things." That's a tall order. When the 6 to 9 inches shows up tomorrow and you have to go out and shovel, do all things without murmurings and disputings. One guy joined a monastery, and for 3 years he was given a probation period where he was not to speak at all. But at the end of the year, he could say two words. At the end of the first year, he said, "Bed hard. Bed hard." At the end of the second year, he said, "Food cold. Food cold." At the end of the third year, he had had enough. He came in and said, "I quit." The head priest says, "That doesn't surprise me. All you've done is complain since you got here." Listen, may I remind you tonight, don't feed into murmurings, grumblings. Don't become part of it. Don't start it. Don't let your heart go there. The enemy will give you a million reasons why to murmur about something. Grumble, complain, dispute. Be slow to become an armchair quarterback in somebody's life, especially in your family, and picking out all the little things that's wrong, grumbling. Stay away from that. Children of Israel did it. Verse Numbers 11, when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. By the way, it has never pleased the Lord when a believer has complained. God has never looked down when a believer's complained and said, "Wow, they have a right to complain. They're right." No, it's really an insult to the Lord. Really is saying, "God, what you've given me, what you've done for me isn't good enough." Beware, beware. Catch yourself. Watch your words. That's the heartbeat. Become improved in your words. That's what we're working on. All of us can work on these things in our lives. Another one, cursing. Cursing. Well, preacher, isn't that the same as swearing? Actually not. Look at James chapter 3, if you will, verses 9 and 10. James chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Verse number 9 says, "Therewith bless we God, even the Father. God, you're wonderful. God, I have a praise to share with the congregation tonight. Lord, as I start off my day, I just want to take some time to thank you for some things that you've done." And then get in the middle of the day and it says, "And therewith curse we men." Malice comes out of our mouth. Harsh words come out of our mouth. Condemnation towards somebody comes out of our mouth. Wait, these both shouldn't be coming out of the same fountain, right? Verse number 10 gives us that. These words are aimed at others. "Therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God." Oh my, to curse a man is to curse someone that God made after his own image. That's a serious thing. And so, guard your words. Guard your words towards others here. Double-tongued is in 1 Timothy chapter 3. I won't take time to go there, but to tell a different story. So you tell one story to somebody, and you tell it a way that they would want to hear it. And you go to the next person, tell a different story. Same story, totally different content to what they want to hear. And it's a qualification for a deacon that he not be that way. If it's a qualification for a deacon, my guess is, I'm just guessing at Scripture, that God wouldn't want any of us to be that way. He wouldn't want us double-tongued. He wouldn't want us speaking out of this side of our mouth and speaking out of this side of our mouth differently. Hypocrisy there. And then the last one I give you under wrong uses tonight, and we'll get to right uses next week, is favoritism or respect of persons. Respect of persons. James chapter 2 deals with that Jesus is not a respecter of persons. But it says, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, there's words there, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, there's words there, stand thou there or sit here under my footstool. It's a good time to remind you, we have a lot of guests in our church, a lot of new people in our church right now, okay? And some have just recently gotten saved. Some have just tried to recently recommit themselves to coming. Some are unsaved and they're just starting to hear Bible, but there's something that's catching them, okay? I have a list of names that we're working with in all of those things. Remember to treat them the same as you do the brethren that you know well. In the church, take interest in them. Let's not look at them and say, well, you're not a part of us yet. Until you become a part of us, no, that's respect to persons. And we don't want that. And may I say this? Sometimes we say things real loud by our actions. Okay? And here's a person that they don't know anybody. I mean, for them to step out in faith and come to a church that they don't know a soul, or maybe they know one person or three people, there's a couple hundred people here. And don't walk by them. If you're by them, man, look them in the eye. Be friendly like you would anybody. Well, I don't know what to say, preacher. I don't want to embarrass myself and I don't want to be awkward. Just be smile and introduce, hey, my name is, and it's good to have you here at our church today. You don't have to be into a 15-minute conversation necessarily, but at least show attention, care, appreciation, friendliness. You know, it's easy for us to get with the people that, you know, we enjoy being with in church, and I understand that, but I just want you to keep your eyes out, okay? Watch your words. Let's go after, let's invest, let's listen, let's care, let's talk to those new people that God brings our way. Let's not be a respecter of persons, all right? Wrong uses. Next week, we'll talk about all the right uses of the tongue that I have in my notes.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org. Or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.